morning. Today is Wednesday, September the 28th, 268th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor out of the second, Estelle Fennell. Good morning, lady.
Good morning, Brian. How are you today?
I'm tired of this hot weather. This is goofy. Yeah. If I wanted this, I'd live in Garberville, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're probably just kind of living the high life, aren't you?
Well, I just don't know. I mean, to me, I was told a long time ago I had to bring several changes of clothes in order to be able to go back and forth between Eureka and Garberville, and that is not the case, no.
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough. Let's see, our quote this morning comes from, let's get a short one, Kurt Vonnegut.
Oh, Kurt, okay.
We are what we pretend to be, so we must be careful about what we pretend to be.
Oh.
Yeah, that kind of sounds like a Twilight Zone episode waiting to happen, doesn't it? Oh, I'm a little bit on a rampage. Last week in Eureka, there had the, I don't know what to call it. Eviction doesn't sound like the right word. But the Flop Hotel, that was a couple blocks from the courthouse, went in. City had a stop. Dale Reinholson said no. They took out. Then there was another one filed. Again, it was no. Okay, so there's some stuff going on there. And it started, which is probably very problematic for me thinking and starting to ask questions about those folks.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, I guess one of the things that I think a lot of us are surprised about, upon reflection, is that these are not homeless people, because by definition, they have shelter.
Yep, that's right.
What is the county responsibility for these folks who are, now we could say indigent, we could say a rung beneath homeless, we could say being taken advantage of by the landlord and by the county? We could say all kinds of different things, but how do they fit into, and what slot do they fit into for you?
Well, I can tell you that when the inspections were occurring at that particular motel, DHHS was also involved. So
that was last week when they got kicked out? On an ongoing monthly or biannual basis that their standards of living are okay.
Right. I don't know about that. All I know is that when that happened, I got notification from our DHHS that they were involved in that investigation and looking for how they were going to handle it, how they were going to handle the people that were going to be moved out. So, yeah, so to your broader question, has that been being inspected in the past several months, weeks? Probably not. And I would say, I don't know, though. And here's the thing. One of the things that I think has been very beneficial to the city of Eureka is that ordinance that says if people have a certain amount of calls to the police, they're going to have to pay more, a fine, and eventually, as in the Blue Heron, be closed down if they just don't come up to snuff. So that is one avenue that I know the city has been taking. I don't know what to do then when you say, well, where does it fit in where you provide this really substandard housing, but you're considered housed, and then you've got other people out on the street, and they're getting temporary housing. It's a very, very complex problem. I don't want to answer for DHHS. I know that they are concerned about the health conditions in there for sure.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, the situation with the budget, and there's a number of others, and landlords that everybody recognizes their names. They get paid by the county, or the state through the county, I guess is probably the more accurate way to say it. But nonetheless, they're getting a check from Humboldt County. Mm-hmm. And there really is no retribution if services aren't provided. I mean, I was hearing things, and I don't want to get too carried away on air because there was some really bizarre stuff, but let's see, mattresses that had blood stains from bed bugs, they were so prevalent.
Oh my God.
Open wires that were obviously not code, that were live and shocked some of the folks that were involved in moving folks out. Food that had been around for a long time. You got the bugs, you got the cockroaches, you got all that stuff, in addition to the fact that there were a number of the units that had no toilet. So you can figure out how creative folks were getting with that also, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And yet, the landlord continued to receive his payments every month.
Well, I hope he's not getting any more.
Well, so what is the responsibility for the county to step in and to monitor these places? I'm really locked up about the fact that they weren't doing at least monthly drop-ins, if not weekly drop-ins, to these various locations where folks, now we may argue what kind of folks they are, and okay, we'll leave that one as a set-aside argument, but there's a responsibility here, and it seems like everybody was asleep at the wheel.
Well, I think that's a very fair question, Brian, honestly, and not to give people a hard time, because I know that we are stretched thin, and I know that there are so many intransigent problems. I mean, we have
one person out of 1,300 is all it would take.
Yeah, so I think that is a very, very fair question, and I think it's something that we need to look into. I personally have gotten complaints from residents of the Garberville area about a motel down there. And
every community has got these kinds of places.
And it makes sense to me. I mean, I remember a couple of years ago, there were complaints about this other motel, and there was all these codes about what can and cannot, what constitutes unhealthy surroundings, roaches, those kind of things. Well, obviously, all of that was happening at the Budget Inn. And so, clearly, that's an environmental health issue. And I don't think that, I don't want to bring on a lawsuit or anything like that, but any fair-minded person would think that if you're getting money to provide housing for someone, you want to at least provide them with a toilet. And so there's a lot of culpability to go around in this particular one. I mean, I would almost call that fraudulent,
They certainly weren't receiving the services.
Our tax money's going to somebody who says they're providing housing, and they're not even providing a place for people to go to the toilet.
And if a lot of these folks didn't have the mental capabilities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
So
I'm trying to keep the players out. The thought that I had come up with, and I don't know, I mean, the county budget's over 300, about 350 now, 350 million?
Yeah.
And DHHS gets over half of that?
Yeah.
So about 185, 190 million?
Yeah, I mean, I've always considered it as like half.
My thought, and I don't know if this is something
that... And a lot of that is federal and state money.
I understand, and I know it's categorical this and you can say that, is to develop a site somewhere that has 40, and I won't say stalls, but let's say minimalist housing units, okay, that are maintained by the county, okay? Now, once that's built, say 90 days, because the county knows how to get through the county's red tape, and the county has enough property, and I'm sure that there's enough folks out there during the off season that are looking for jobs to build these things. or perhaps you've got existing contracts with folks that they may want to kind of step up to the plate and do mm-hmm. something responsible. So you've got these set aside, and now you go to these places and you say, okay, landlord, you got 60 days. If we don't come through here and this place is totally up to snuff, not the letter of the law, but
the spirit.
And you will spend at least 1 week in these before we clear this.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen. We're going to condemn Blade. Relocate the people into here, and then you have the opportunity to either rebuild, or we will rebuild for you and charge you for it. Because typically there's outstanding fees and warrants and lawsuits and yadda-da-da-da-da-da-da, and these guys know how to play the game. They drag it out. So now the people have somewhere to go. County has somewhere to relocate somebody. Short-term, time-specific, opportunity for somebody to take care of the situation if they are so inclined, and if not, such as this one, guys that lives out of the L.A. area and has got a couple other facilities in the county, he's not put on notice that there's no more just taking the money.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to permit this to be done here.
Yeah.
Possible?
I don't know. I think, again, it's a fair question. You know, we took a lot of...
You're being awfully fair this morning.
No. here's the thing, Brian. And I honestly, sometimes it seems like a simple answer like that is the way to go, but it's very complex.
Oh, I'm sure there's all kinds of potential lawsuits and things of that nature. And these folks who own these facilities certainly know the law better than I, because they've played this game forever.
Yeah.
But it just seems it's time to draw a line in the sand and say, no, not here.
Yeah.
I'm done. Are you? KINS, News and Information Time. Okay, I'm just really getting started. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Estelle Fennell. Talk Shop presented by REDEC and by CDH Painting. Estelle, dealing with situations like homelessness, it's kind of almost becoming a refined political science effort. We got this subgroup, and we got that subgroup, and we got this funding, we got that funding, and we got all these experts over here, and these experts over here, and nothing gets done.
Well,
and then every once in a while you get a renegade
mm-hmm.
like Chief Mills
mm-hmm.
or a couple of the other guys and say, hey.
Yeah.
And they bring in ideas from outside. And all of a sudden we're kind of looking goofy that we accepted this stuff
mm-hmm.
for so many years because we didn't go outside and find an answer.
Well, that's
it. Is it internal motivation that allows this to happen? Or is it laziness that allows things like this budget in situation to happen and continue?
I think it's bureaucratic static stasis, if you will. So, and somebody coming in who hasn't been involved in government all her life, seeing these kind of things, when I do back and forth with staff, I'm talking common sense. Like, are you sure we're not going to do this? You know, I mean, why wouldn't that make more sense? So I think to some degree, if we can come up with creative solutions, let's go for them. Because honestly, part of the reason that staff tends to get stuck is because a lot of this is federal or state funding. It's got all sorts of mandates. It's got all sorts of rules and regulations, dot this I, cross that T. But you can, at a certain point, you can go, okay, all right, I get it. This stream isn't working this way. Let's think of something outside of the box and see if we can figure out a way to bring that that funding to that area. Yep. I think it can be done, Brian, but it does require thinking outside the box. It does require political determination. And I certainly think, for instance, we've had in Southern Humboldt, a lot of people, you know, after several years of back and forth and back and forth about the impact on the community, have said, you know what? Enough. We are going to make a point about our code, if you will, you know, what we stand for, our community values, and we're going to say, this is what we stand for, this is how we want things in our community, this is where we want our children to grow up, and honestly, if you don't live by these standards, then you need to be pay attention to what legal ramifications there might be for you. And so if you're running a real flophouse hotel, I mean, I guess they've existed since time immemorial, but why should we put up with it, especially if it's getting funding from the government?
That's what I was going to ask. And again, granted, you're not an expert in this mm-hmm. field, but could the county say, here's your voucher,
mm-hmm.
not good at these facilities?
All right, this one is yes,
boom,
this one is
boom,
no.
Boom, 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 and just go down the line. Oh. So while you may not be shutting down a business,
mm-hmm.
you'll be choking them off at the throat for those that are not substandard, but whatever is about five levels in Dante's hell below that.
Well, so you have something along the line of qualifications, somebody that's
so
pre-qualified.
You send in your inspector mm-hmm. type, and they go through and they randomly mm-hmm. check two mm-hmm. or three rooms at each facility once a month, and we'll just kind of see. And if you get the clean bill of health, thank you very much.
Yep.
But we're not going to subject people to those conditions. Or, even worse, have those types of facilities in the middle of our towns.
Yep.
What the heck is going on?
Well, now, I have to plead, you're right. I'm not the expert, and in this particular case, it's in the city of Eureka. I know that the city of Eureka had to have some reason to go in and do that, not just the fact that they were getting calls for services for crimes that were happening there. I don't know what led up to this latest thing. So they may have very well been doing inspections and come to the conclusion that they needed to get in there and have a closer look.
Well, let's say from a bunch of folks that I talked to, it was no surprise.
Exactly.
They more than and could have qualified a number
maybe
of
this
years
was the
ago.
Right, so this was the straw that broke the right. camel's back or whatever.
But why not put
why
in
didn't
place
it happen
guidelines
earlier?
And structures?
Mm-hmm.
Because even if it's in the city of Eureka, Arcata, wherever it might happen to be,
mm-hmm.
it's still DHHS money. They're there.
Section 8, yeah, right.
They are there. Mm-hmm. Well, Section 8 does inspect.
Yeah, right. But
these
I'm saying
aren't.
That kind of model.
Yeah. Yeah. And just, you know, we don't have to invent it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just apply it
mm-hmm.
and then enforce it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like bed tax.
Yeah.
You know, when was the last time you guys heard of an audit of the bed tax?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. I mean, there's a bunch of those types of things that are out there that are on the books that may as well not be on the books because they really don't get enforced or they get applied very sporadically and only in selected applications.
Well, all of the revenue to the county gets audited every year. But I think that as far as the city goes and the DHHS interface with the city, obviously it's those people who qualify for federal and state funding. And indigent, which is a county program. So I would
so
like to...
what is the definition of indigent versus homeless?
Oh, wow. Now, there's a good one. Indigent is somebody who can't support themselves.
Physically or mentally can't.
Yeah, who just doesn't have the funds, who's like, you know, qualifies because they have nothing. I don't know what it is. Is it like...
And homeless is just...
Without a home.
Without a home.
Yeah, I mean, you could have a lot more money than an indigent person and be homeless. Although
yeah, we keep hearing those stories,
are.
Don't we?
Yeah. But you know. Yeah.
Geez, see that? I put her in the corner that quick.
You
and
did.
Got her.
Bang.
Geez, she painted herself.
Slam.
And, yeah. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Estelle Fennell.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, I have heard from folks in a couple of different folks, different areas that are saying that with the pending permit fee structure for marijuana in Humboldt County, now whether it's the medicinal that everybody's going, or it's the other after November, that Humboldt County is the least expensive of Humboldt, Mendocino, Trinity, Del Norte, and Siskiyou counties. I'm going to say that as fact because it's come from folks who should know what's going on.
Yeah.
Why would Humboldt County, with all this foo-foo about how Humboldt Homegrown is this premium doo-doo-doo, why aren't we going at 50% above everybody else instead of coming in below?
Well, I think our main focus from the county perspective is land use. And so what we want to do is, when we're charging people for permits, when we're coming up with this excise tax that people are going to be voting on, we're looking at bringing people into compliance. So that's our main focus. It's not the quality per se or the brand. It's more the environment, the security of our communities, etc.
But wouldn't now, that, with just a normal economic model, attract more?
Well,
to Humboldt County, compounding the situation?
Well, I think what you're going to find is that once we get to the point where licenses come in, there's going to be more costs. I mean, we tried when we talked about the excise tax to do it on a different level, and there was just such a pushback. It just didn't seem like it was going to make it. And
you
we
mean from
really,
those who would have to pay the taxes, you got blowback?
Oh,
what a shocker, huh?
Yeah, well, I know. Except when we started off, they said, taxes, whatever you want. But, whatever. The bottom line is, as far as the permits go, I don't know that you could make that call at this point. I don't know what anybody is charging for permits, but ours has to do with land use. And, depending on your size, going to cost you more, for sure. I mean, depending if you've got to get a sign off from Regional Water Quality Control Board, CAL FIRE, you name it, all of those guys, plus the county, I would say it's going to be pretty costly.
Well, the thought that I had also is if it was priced out what I would call properly, now that would be open for conjecture, I'm sure, among a whole bunch of folks, is that it would also pay for the additional enforcement from Fish and Game, from everybody else.
Well, those guys are going to charge. The county is not going to pay Fish and Game's bill, let me tell you.
No, I understand, but there's going to have to be some additional law enforcement presence.
Well, Fish and Game will charge. Fish and Game actually has but Water Quality Control Board has a tiered system that you enroll in and you pay every year. I forget how much it is, but you do pay. And then I'm sure that if they're Fish and Game are involved, there's going to be penalties or fees. So I do believe that every branch that deals will recoup their costs. And that includes the agricultural commissioner, and that will be the cost of the licenses. Then they'll have to pay for the stamps to prove that they're genuine. So I don't know that they're going to get away.
Cultural costs for the cities also and the counties, kind of like what we were talking about earlier. That's
yeah.
going to be factored in?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think that there's going to be, it'll be interesting to see if that excise tax passes and how helpful that is. But that is actually going to deal to some degree with enforcement, mental health, children's health, family's health. That's all involved there.
And my health, maybe.
Oh, well, maybe. I don't know, Brian.
Yeah, okay. I lost
just along with your blood pressures.
Yeah, yeah. So. Thanks for coming by.
Take care.
See everybody tomorrow.